I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
With that, ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springer Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I tell you what, time seems to fly even on the holidays, and the older you get, guess what? It flies a lot faster. So I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving weekend, but it's time to get down to business. Yes, it is. It is now December. We are heading quickly towards Christmas, but what happens after Christmas? Our campaign season kicks off in full gear, and we got a lot to go over tonight concerning that. Hello, Mr. Martin. How are you?
All right, Mr. Springsteen. I must warn you, though, I'm actually still at work, so, you know, I may have to bug out on you a couple times, but we'll see.
Well, I guess we will see. I tell you what, we have so much going on locally. As always, I like to start local on Monday and Tuesday nights, and let's start that way again tonight, because I tell you, there's a couple of very interesting stories out. The Louisville Metro Council panel has decided to seek subpoena powers, not for the council has subpoena powers, but for the Ethics Commission itself. One of the things that has been disturbing throughout this whole Ethics Commission dilemmas that we went through for the last couple of years in the case of Judy Greene and then Barbara Shanklin was the fact that Ethics Commission can compel someone to testify, but they have no way to force you to do that, and it became very clearly evident during the Ethics Commission investigation into Barbara Shanklin, just to what extent idiots like her attorney would go to avoid making sure that their client was held accountable. Because of that lack of being able to get people to testify, Barbara Shanklin refused to testify and actually left the proceedings during the Ethics Commission trial, if you will. And, you know, we really didn't get anything done. The Metro Council Committee, David Yates, David James, and Republican Robin Engel decided that they were going to present and voted unanimously to try to amend the KRS 67C, which handles the city-county merger, and give the Ethics Commission full subpoena powers. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's something that's necessary?
I absolutely do. Granted, it kind of worked out, except for the removal vote anyway. Thank God we live in an era where we can watch the highlights on the news of Barbara Shanklin
right.
getting up and walking out like a dejected deputy dog. But, if you're innocent, you'd probably want to take the stand anyway. So, they have subpoena powers, but I don't know how far that's going to go if somebody simply pleads the fifth or something. I don't know if they can still do that, but yeah, in the end, what we really need, and you know, all this is all good and well, and I actually do agree with it, but I just wish to hell that after we find somebody having broke ethics laws, that they grow a set and get rid of them.
Well, I'm actually glad you brought that part of it up.
How about we just elect people that don't break ethics laws? Wouldn't that be what a concept?
That would be a great concept, but I'm actually glad that you brought that up because there is more to this story. According to the resolution that Democratic Councilman David Yates and David James and Republican Councilman Robin Engel put together, the resolution is also asking that the legislature require mandatory removal of an elected metro official upon finding of fraud, theft, embezzlement, or misappropriation of public funds. So they're actually trying to address that. So if this requires mandatory removal, I think that's a great thing. But it also does one other thing for us, too, and that's these metro council members, really off the hook. Because the reason that Barbara Shanklin kept her job was that she didn't get the two-thirds majority she had to be kicked off. You had the Shanklin 7 kept her job. She fell one vote short of removal. And that one vote, you can really blame on Mary Woolridge. Mary Woolridge flat out said publicly, or at least according to Kelly Downard, said that she would never vote to remove an African-American councilwoman again, because Judy Greene was removed unanimously. But she would never vote to remove an African-American councilwoman. So, in effect, she just said there is nothing that would force her to remove a black person because of their race. So, with that in mind, this eliminates that, because if they're found guilty, then they're automatically removed, and we don't have to go through this nightmare scenario that we just went through with Judy Greene and Barbara Shanklin. So they are trying to announce that, too. Do you think both of those will stand up, and do you think the legislature will actually go along with this? Because that's the thing for me. Will the Kentucky State Legislature actually say okay? I'm not so sure.
I don't know how they couldn't, really. I mean, you know, the Shanklin thing, I think if they use Shanklin and Greene, not so much Greene, but if, I don't see how they could not do it. Because I've often said, you know, when the Shanklin thing was going on and they didn't remove her, it's like, oh, well, you know, some of them said, well, it didn't rise to that occasion, and, you know, to be removed and stuff. It's like, no, actually the threshold should be pretty damn low. Because, again, all you have to do is not break the rules. Just get up there and do your job. So, you know, I think the more teeth they could put into it, the better. Because, you got to be fine. Hey, people roll stop signs all the time. You know, you can break little rules, but when you've got access to $250,000 slush funds, you know, vote buying funds, when you have say so over city pensions and emergency service, Louisville Metro Animal Service. You have sway over all that. I'm sorry. You've got to be a little better. You've got to be better than just the average citizen, because there's so much riding on it. And in some cases, literally people's lives, you know, when you're dealing with Metro, like the Metro ambulance services and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. I think the more teeth and the narrower the scope of you know, the latitude that they get as far as ethics go,
right.
I think the better. I think they just put they need to put the choke chain on some of these guys and really pinch them back and make them heal. And it's like, you know, look, it's not that difficult. Get in there, do your job to the best of your ability. You know, if you're in it to enrich yourself, if you think that you're worth more, then fine, go to the private sector and get what you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
But this, you know, it's either public service or it's not.
Well, you know, half of these Metro County members are making twice what they normally make in a pressure anyway. You know, they're not making more than $20,000 to $25,000 in private sector. They go there, they're like kings on our dollar. That's just the way I look at it. But it's interesting because we finally have an avenue. That's what I was really hoping was going to happen, because I also, this is a side note, I actually filed charges against Metro Council President Jim King just a few weeks ago. And that was knocked away. The Ethics Commission basically said that the charges were done in a timely manner, because this happened, what I charged him with was more than a year ago, and that's the time frame he used. And I'm actually going to work on that part of the ethics. The interesting thing about that is they've already got a resolution. The resolution is going to go before the entire Metro Council next Thursday, December the 12th, council meeting. And it's co-sponsored by not only David Yates, but it's also co-sponsored by Jerry Miller, and it's co-sponsored by none other than Metro Council President Jim King. So, you know, this is going to be interesting, because I know the legislature, Larry Clark, was trying to actually make it harder at one time for anybody to file ethics complaints. He tried to introduce some legislation that was going to force us, anybody who filed an ethics complaint, to pay for the services, which was going to really hurt things and basically stifle the transparency we require from that. However, you know, that didn't get through or anything else. So with this is going to help us a great deal too, because this is going to put everything on the Ethics Commission. We're not going to waste the extra money, the extra time, all the other things with the council that could be doing other business and things like that. So that's the only thing I have a problem with, Frankfurt, because of Larry Clark involvement. However, when you've got Metro Council President Jim King, who has been through this himself, and he's actually trying to make it an easier avenue for us to file ethics. You know, you got to give the man credit where it's due, and this is one of those times where it happens. So I think it's going to pass myself. I'm not 100% on that, man. I'm really not. But moving on to other things, you know, of course, we've been talking lately about this big 1% sales tax, local sales tax option that Greg Fisher wants. And there was another story about that over the weekend. I think it came out Saturday. I may be wrong on the day. But this was from the Courier Journal. But it's interesting because Steve Beshear and Greg Fisher and all these guys are making it sound like everybody wants this. I mean, Fisher is quoted as saying, We've got great momentum. And what I'm hearing from people is that they get it, that it's all about jobs. You know, he's made this sales tax, the sales tax priority in 2014. Then, of course, you know, you get Damon Thayer saying the right thing. I don't think there's support for it in the Senate, at least I hope not, because we don't need new taxes right now. But, you know, Fisher, this is where your Democrats are going with this. This is where Fisher, Beshear, Abramson, and these other clowns are going at. You know, they're going to be looking at this. Now they're trying to tell us that it's not really a tax, it's a vote. And I want people to understand this, because what they're actually doing is saying that they want the local sales option tax to be on a ballot and let the people decide. So they are voting. But at the end of the day, they are voting for a tax. And they're trying everything they can to make it look like that we're denying the right of the people to vote on something without telling them that they're voting on a tax. What do you think about that?
Well, I think any time the people get to vote, whether it's on you know, expanded gambling or even taxes, I think votes are good. You know, we've seen what happens when we get the hidden taxes with MSD and a water company. We've seen when we get the taxes that we don't get to vote on, like JCPS. I think a vote on a tax is fine. Now, the one thing I wouldn't want to see is that, let's just say, government money and government resources would go into lobbying for this. You know, so if Greg Fisher wants it, fine. You know what? If you've got all this support, the people who support it, let them fund it. I don't want you. You know, we don't want this thing going out and doing, you know, press releases and using the bully pulpit of the government to push it and sell their side of it, and then the private sector, maybe the people that oppose it, similarly as they did the library tax, have to be completely privately funded? No.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they're going to do it, I think it needs to be, there needs to be some balance to it, to where the government, you know, the officials that want it, can't just push and abuse the bully pulpit, calling news conferences, you know, and all lining up saying, you know, whatever. Access to the media to sell their tax? No, I don't. I think there needs to be some sort of stipulation, some sort of restriction in there that keeps them from doing that.
Well, I tell you, and I'm looking at a chat room too, and our good friend Paul Holliger with Stop Invisible Taxes. We're all familiar with him on this show. You know, he said, you know, he's all in favor of putting any tax issue on the ballot. All right, but put all taxes on the ballot. Don't pick and choose. And actually, I'm kind of in agreement with that. You know, let's include all the other taxes. If you're going to vote on one tax, let's vote on them all and see where they go. You know, and you point out the fact that there is no money owned by the government. Absolutely correct. So what was really it's interesting to me is we look at this, and Fisher went on to say the county judges and mayors are saying that with the smack that the pension costs have put on our budgets, we just don't have the money we need for capital projects. And there's no way, better way to do that than letting the people decide. Again, trying to allude to a vote and not a tax. Here's the thing, and I really took offense to that statement, because the smack that is these pension costs were put on there by these Democrats bending over backwards, giving these daggone government unions everything that they ever wanted. And these guys get better pensions and benefits than anybody in the private sector for the most part. You know, they're the ones that created these pension costs by not holding those jobs accountable to the same standard as a private organization. I mean, you work for the government, you're in 20, 25, or 30 years, depending on your contract, and you're out. So if you're 18 years old, you start working for the government at 48 years old, you're done. Full retirement, full pension, and everything else, when everybody else in the private sector has to work to 62 or 67 for Social Security or whatever,
you know,
whatever their pensions are.
Not in Kentucky, Ed. Not in Kentucky. You go to work at 20 or you retire at whatever, 40, 45, you don't actually retire. That's when you start double-dipping like people like Steve Kerem and stuff.
Glad you brought that up, because so did Paul in the chat room, because they can double-dip too. Yeah, they actually retire, and then 30 days later they come back to the same job on a private thing and make even more money. So, you know, that's the thing for me. They have created this pension cost nightmare, which is taking the money. They just admitted that their nightmare screwed us out of great infrastructure and capital projects, and now they want us to pay even more to fix their mess, when we both know in reality they had an opportunity last year to work on the pension costs. We even had our good friend Chris Tobey, and I highly recommend his book, Kentucky Fried Pensions, be read by anybody who's concerned about the money in Kentucky. But we had the chance to do that, and what did they come up with? Some kind of a garbage with a new vehicle, and that was supposed to fix our budget impasse because of pensions? It's nuts. You know, it's totally nuts. So I just don't get that, and that I've got a problem with. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. You know, no doubt they've dug their hole so many different ways. I mean, but beyond that, like I said, I'm in agreement with Paul. I think not only just, you know, I think, and you never know. Sometimes government actually steps in it pretty good. So if they come up with this tax, this could be an avenue with which to say, you know, hey, look, that worked really great. You know, some taxes get voted up, some taxes get voted down. Let's apply this metric to other taxes. Yeah, you know, so I wonder if the government people have thought of that. You know, the people might get
right.
a vote on something. They may approve a tax every once in a while if it actually, you know, they can. It sounds like a good plan, good investment. And they'll probably disapprove of most taxes, you would think. But you know, this could set a template for going forward for things like the contentious JCPS tax and like the rate increases and stuff. Like they could actually be thinking they're getting away with something, thinking, oh yeah, we're going to sell the public on taxes. I guess we're going to vote mm-hmm. their own. You know, they're going to pick their own bullet that we're going to hit them with. And in fact,
well, you know,
the public may end up saying, yeah, we kind of like this. Let's extend this whole voting for new taxes and tax increases to everything. They may open
you
a
know,
can of worms. There's a definite potential for that.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, too, because I like your terminology. It's a good plan or it's a good idea. And when I look at that, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, that's exactly what the liberals in this state have always said. They have never seen a tax that didn't like. They have bent over backwards to tax the hell out of everybody to benefit the union so that they could get the votes to keep the power. They were screwing everybody. You know, we don't ever see something that's called a revenue-neutral tax in this state. Money always goes up, and we still haven't even started addressing the illegal taxes, the Louisville Water Company, MSD, any of those illegal taxes. I mean, we the people don't have any more to give, and we know that there are hundreds of millions of dollars that this state wastes each and every year. That could fix the pension problems, that could go to the capital projects. We know these things. They've been outlined by multiple people. So, you know, I can't understand how anybody would go with this local option sales tax. You know, don't even put it on my ballot. You know, there's no reason to be there because we don't need more taxes. We need more accountability. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to run into the Matt Bevin, Mitch McConnell race. I think you guys are going to like that. There's a lot going on with that lately, so stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Spreeksa Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned, folks.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Spreeksa of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
And we are back, folks. Yes, we're back. It's the Spreeksa Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. home of LouisvillePolitics.com. And I tell you, Ed, you know, we're going into break. We've been talking about the Louisville issues, the local taxes, you know, the Ethics Commission and everything else. There's a great race coming up next year in the midterms. We've spent some time talking about it already, and we're going to spend considerably more time talking about this over the next several months. But the Matt Bevin, Mitch McConnell Senate primary, Republican Senate primary, you know, as everybody knows by now, last week Mitch McConnell basically said he's going to win his race, no big deal. Like he really didn't care about Matt Bevin, which totally, if anybody would have him understand, that's really a lot of poppycock, because if he wasn't worried about Matt Bevin, he certainly wouldn't have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trashing the guy every chance he could for the last several months. You know, but Matt Bevin has finally responded. And Matt Bevin, to me, as I pointed out last week, I think he needs to do some things different in his campaign to have any kind of a shot. And I don't think he's got a great shot, but he does have a shot. Let's give him credit here. But he goes on to criticize McConnell for not fighting hard enough against Obamacare. You know, of course, he said that McConnell's comments was blustery bravado, which we know. You know, and then he goes out to say, well, while he's sitting in his office in Washington, he's too removed from the voters that are going to decide this election. Well, the thing is, all right, and this is the kind of stuff that gets going to get Bevin in trouble. When you make a statement like that, you're saying Mitch McConnell should be out sitting here campaigning, but instead he's in Washington doing his job that we elected him to do. You know, that's the flip side of making a statement like that. Well, he's in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, well, they're in session. He's supposed to be there, you know. You know, and then, of course, Bevin is out there saying he thinks he's got this thing sold up, that he's out here talking to everybody, that all of these people are, you know, coming to see him and they're going to vote for him and blah, blah, blah. And I think that is the rookie mistake, as I mentioned last week. We've both run campaigns. We've both been in campaigns. We've both been involved in campaigns. And the one thing you can't do if you're a candidate running for office is sit here and believe everything everybody tells you. And when you're making statements that everybody you talk to is going to vote for you, to me that's very naive, because we both know that's not reality. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, because you're talking to people who are making the time to come up and talk to you, so they're obviously fans. Now, I can see where they're both kind of stepping in it a little bit, like McConnell saying, I've got this wrapped up.
Sure.
I would think at some point you need to sit back and, you know, and go at the vote. You know, look at the polling numbers. Look at the general favorability ratings. You know, you need to remember, once again, you're a public servant. So, you know, it's just, you got to get, I think people resent the sense of entitlement. No question mm-hmm. they resent it.
Sure.
So, you know, I can't believe McConnell would say something like that. I mean, you got to be confident. I got to give somebody credit there. But by the same token, you've got to sit back and say, you know, hey, look, I think I've done right by the voters, you know, the citizens of Kentucky. And, yeah, I certainly would expect that I could win based on my record and this, that, and the other. But you don't just say, I've got to sew it up. People are
right.
Like, oh, damn, you know, it's like, really? Wow,
well, you know,
damn you! You know, what about me, the voter? It's like, damn, why should I even go vote? Damn, he got this sewed up. And you know, by the same, I've always wanted realism. You know, you were realistic, I was realistic. People would ask me, "You think you can win?" I'd be like, "Well, you know, one vote, one man, anything could happen." But
right.
I don't have the money the other guys have, so. Doubtful.
Well, and that's
I know you're supposed to be optimistic, but I mean, you also got to be realistic. And I think the people would appreciate somebody being just realistic.
Well, and I agree with that. And see, the thing for me is this. I mean, you know, for one thing, I actually do agree with Bevin that Mitch McConnell is too distant. And even Paul Holliger inside the chat room, he's even saying the same thing. I do agree with Bevin on that. I've got no problem with what Matt Bevin did.
Yep.
But it's the way that he stated it. You know, he's in Washington. You know, he's not talking to people. Well, that's his job right now. And, you know, so you didn't say he's too distant and out of touch. You said he's in Washington. At a time when we're in session, at a time everybody's screaming about the most recent government shutdown, the Obamacare debacle, all the other stuff, we expect our elected representative to be there, not out campaigning. And I think that he needs to work on how he's being quoted in the media. But, you know, you really look at, too, when you sit here and, you know, and we talk about everybody says they're going to vote for you, That's great as well. But the problem is, you know, half the people, and this sounds really bad, and I apologize in advance to most people who listen to this show. And by the way, folks, we are the number one conservative online radio show here in Louisville, so you need to jump on board. Tell your friends. Have them join us. But, you know, when we look at all of this in play, you know, we've got to realize he's going to Tea Party places. He's going to all these different, you know, libertarian places. You know, and quite frankly, libertarians and independents do not vote in primaries. They can't.
Nope.
So, you know, my biggest concern is while he's out here spending, if Matt Bevin wants to be a factor against Mitch McConnell, while he's sitting out here spending his money on stupid places like Clear Channel Radio or television ads, those things, you know, with TiVo, DVR, channel hopping on AM stations, those ads are meaningless. Less than 5% of the people are actually probably hearing them and paying attention to them. I'm sorry, folks, that's reality. So you're spending all your money trying to target an audience that you're not going to hear, and then the people you're talking to when you're out on the road and going to events, half of them are people who can't vote in the primary. So when you sit here and you talk about all these people that are on your side and all these people are going to help you, you know, we really have to understand it, and that's the one thing I don't think Matt is either understanding or his campaign is doing a lousy job of. They're not keeping this guy informed and getting him where he needs to go to be a relevant factor. Do you think those are issues that I'm right about, or am I just looking at this
well,
all wrong?
I think you are right, but you know me, I like to move in a linear fashion, you know, point A to point B, you know, get you to point C.
Sure.
Now, McConnell is acting like he thinks he's going to win. I mean, granted, he's spending time attacking his likely opponent, you know,
right.
in the general. If Bevin really thought that, not that I'm his campaign manager or anything like that, but if you really thought you were going to win, you'd start swinging some of the guns around to Allison, you know,
mm-hmm.
Lundergan Grimes, your likely general opponent. And I would actually, you know, I understand there's a primary, and I understand they got to go at it. But again, I personally think it would probably help Bevin a little bit if he would unload on Allison Lundgren Grimes a little bit, because if you think you're going to win, okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, start sending a few shots across that bow. B, if you want the voters to think you're going to win, you know, they're going to want to see what you've got. You know, it's not just.
Right.
Can you beat Mitch? It's also you've got to win too. You've got to beat Mitch, and you've got to beat Allison Lundgren Grimes. So I would, you know, not saying what
see,
which
I wouldn't,
one or the other, but I would say
I,
hey,
I wouldn't
man,
really.
If you think you're going to win, let's get a taste of how you would go after Grimes. I want to
well,
see.
I can already tell you, and I know Matt Bevin has people that listen to this show. Apparently, they don't want to be on it because I keep reaching out. And they don't do anything about it. But here's the deal. The way you do that is every time Mitch McConnell says something about Obamacare or goes on the attack against Matt Bevin, then you link those statements to Allison Lundgren Grimes' position because they're technically the same. There are so many ways that you can link McConnell and Grimes together. It's unbelievable. Or, and a lot of people out there, and I'm not trying to discount Matt Bevin at all, but there's a lot of people out there that think Matt Bevin is a liberal with an R behind their name. And they're starting to liken him and associate him with the likes of Chris Christie, who has liberal tendencies versus conservative tendencies, even though they've got an R behind their name. That's working against him. One of the biggest reasons that's really coming about, though, and you know, Matt really has to look at this as well, is Mitch McConnell goes to the gutter. That's his campaigning style, has been his campaigning style forever. You go to the gutter, see what sticks, then you hammer it home. You win elections by small numbers, but you make sure you win. And that gutter snake forces the voters out of the polls. Nobody goes to vote because they're getting sick of that. And then he wins by a slim majority. That's Mitch McConnell. That's his campaigning style. It's not hard to figure out. But Matt Bevin is campaigning the same way. He's going to the gutter, doing the negative stuff and responding to Mitch McConnell. And now he's even got a site out there that he started attacking Mitch McConnell, and that's fine, you know, but the reality is, how many people is Matt Bevin turning off too? Because when you sit here at the end of the day and you look at it, here you've got two candidates that are doing nothing more than negative campaigning against each other. One is already there. He's got a base established that he's going to keep. He's not going to lose his base when it comes to reelection. Mitch McConnell's got that base. And one is trying to establish a base, but the people he's coming after are the same people who are sick of Mitch McConnell and the negative campaigning tactics. Why would they get on board?
Yeah, like that, like and agreed. I agree. And like I say, you know, if you say you're different, let's see it. Let's see you be different. If you say you're going to win, then let's see what you've got. You know, act like you're going to win, and tell me what you're gonna. You know, tell me how you're gonna take on Grimes. And yeah, if the opportunity presents itself, I agree with you. I think they should, you know, try to connect Grimes and McConnell wherever they can. You know, I guarantee you, if McConnell thinks he can connect Bevin to Grimes, he's going to do it. So
right.
I think, I tend to agree. I mean, the negative campaigning, it happens. You know, Bevin's people, I'm sure, have figured out you've got to disincentivize some of McConnell's base, just like McConnell's trying to disincentivize some of Bevin's base.
Sure.
So, you know, fair enough. That's unfortunately, that's the way politics works nowadays.
Well, it's interesting, too. I tell you, it's interesting too, and I'm just trying to. I want to take another angle here because I really want your opinion on this, because you know, Bevin went on the Breitbart news channel, radio channel, and Sirius XM, whatever the hell it is. But anyway, he went on Breitbart and he was talking on Breitbart, and you know, he was being interviewed by the executive chairman, Stephen Bannon. And anyway, long story short, this was in Boone County, Kentucky, and last Thursday. It would have been Thanksgiving, a week ago Thursday, my bad, folks. But Bevin won a straw poll vote of about 700 Republicans in Boone County, all right, Tea Party event. Remember that going forward, Tea Party event. And he got 80% of those 700 votes in a straw vote. Is that really significant? I mean, Ron Paul won straw votes handily. But look what happened to him when it came to actual election. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think if they did it caucus style, I think it would be significant. But you know, I think you've got different groups of people. I think you've got the lukewarm Republicans out there that'll just simply, you know, they'll vote for whoever the hell they think can beat Grimes. Mm-hmm. McConnell's people got they're loyal. I don't think McConnell's people are just bothered by that stuff. They're just like, look, we go to a Tea Party event, yeah. Tea Party in certain areas has morphed into anti-everything.
Sure. Yeah.
Like when I ran, the Tea Party was actually busily being co-opted by the Republicans and seeming to like it. But now if you vote one time for one thing that they don't like, they pretty much want you gone, you know, no compromise. So I think it's a Tea Party event. I think the McConnell people stay away. The Bevin people show up. And,
right.
Yeah, you know, they're going to get a win, and it's just like Iowa caucuses and stuff. Like, you know, so you get just enough people to show up, and they vote for your guy, and you get to call it a win, even though it's a small win with a small number of people, and it's kind of, you know, by the very nature of the vote, it's a very specific type of person that shows up. And to be honest, I'm shocked McConnell got 20% of the vote.
Well, see, that's exactly where I'm going at. I agree with you 100% on that, because realistically, you've got 700 Tea Party Republicans at a Boone County function, and Matt Bevin is a Tea Party candidate. He's been labeled a Tea Party candidate. The Tea Party has embraced him. He has taken that embrace and taken it for all it's worth. You know, so that's like me being in my home and being elected neighborhood president, but when I go out to the hundreds of people around the neighborhood, I'm not nearly as popular as I thought I was. And the thing is, do you believe that hype, you know, or do you realize I take it for what it is and move on? And then, of course, you've got to look at the reality here, too. Mitch McConnell took in over $9 million in this primary, and Matt Bevin has taken in $160,000. Now, Matt Bevin is apparently worth as much as $25 million, according to the Breitbart article, but he would have to spend 40% of his fortune to match Mitch McConnell dime for dime. And there's not a politician alive that's going to do that, that has millions of dollars. Now, you take somebody like me and you to run for office, 40% of our fortune is a few thousand bucks, you know, and we put that out. But, but are you going to take, you worked your whole life to put $25 million in the bank. Are you going to waste 40% of it on a race that you have the slimmest chance of winning. And I just don't see that. Is Matt Bevin going to contribute? Sure, he's going to contribute. But he's not going to match the money Mitch McConnell has. And, you know, and that's always been the thing with me is how do you get your message out? Well, when you're going to run a tight campaign and you're spending money on mainstream that's not going to get to the voters, you know, only 5% of those people are actually going to hear your message to begin with, you've got a serious problem. You know, and when you start believing the hype because of an 80% straw poll, even Ron Paul won 80% straw polls and didn't carry the vote in the states that he won the straw polls at. Straw polls are nothing more than opinion, and most people, like you said, show up at these things who are already friendly to you anyway. That's why they're there. Mitch McConnell's not going to have people show up at a Boone County Tea Party function if he's not going to be there. And I've got to put this out there, too, Ed, because we went to the Lincoln Day dinner. Ed Martin purchased a table at the Lincoln Day dinner this year, and I was a guest of his. And, you know, one thing that really stood out to me that I found not to be acceptable was Mitch McConnell. And the reason for that was you had to pay extra to be invited to a private meeting with him prior to the dinner event. So the only way you could see him is if you put out a couple grand or whatever the hell the price was, you could see him, but you didn't have time to talk about anything. You just got to, you know, be in an informal setting with the man. And that, to me, was standoffish. You know, here you are spending all this money at the Lincoln Day dinner for a Republican fundraiser. You know, he certainly should have made himself available to everybody. And that I didn't like at all. So, you know, there's a lot of different things here, but we really do have to start looking at Matt Bevin as a candidate. You know, can the guy win? If he changes what he's doing and gets himself a campaign manager, that's what they're doing, I honestly believe he has a shot. But if he continues doing the business the way he's doing right now versus everything he's spending versus the message he's putting out with the negative campaign ads versus believing the hype from libertarians and people who can't vote in the primary, I mean, everybody should appreciate the fact he's embracing these guys. But these are the people you have to embrace after May. Now you need to spend your time and resources on Republican voters who are going to be at the polls voting in May. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think a lot of Republican voters. Plus, if you look at things like that happened in Indiana with Murdoch, and all the Christine lady that took on Harry Reid and stuff. I think the main block of conservative and moderate voters that vote in an election, I think they're the ones that want to see how you're going to handle yourself against the Democratic opponent.
Right.
And we're not getting that with Matt right now. And unfortunately, I would like to see, I mean, if he's got the, let's face it, Matt's got the stones to take on Mitch, you know, and go at him. I want to see what he's got for her because that's, you know, there's going to be a Republican and a Democrat and independent probably in the election in the fall.
Well, you're going to have March period.
I would at least like a preview so I can look at it and go, okay, so this is kind of what this election would look like if Matt Bevin were actually able to beat Mitch McConnell. So this is what it's going to look like. I'm interested.
Well, I think you actually hit on something, too, that we haven't even talked about was Ed Marksberry. Marksberry is the independent you're referring to, right? You know, so, I mean, if you look at Marksberry was going to run in the Democratic primary, and they ran his butt out to put everything behind Alison Lundigan Grimes. They refused to give him equal opportunity or equal play, which is wrong. The Republicans do it here, too. We've talked about that extensively. So tonight is pick on the Democrats for doing the same damn thing. But, so Marksberry decided.
Nobody was as blatant as the Democrats the way they crapped on Ed Marksberry.
Oh, I'm totally with you. So, you know, so Marksberry decides he's going to go independent and run for office. Now, see, there's a spoiler there, and I sincerely mean that because when you look at the votes, I honestly believe that any votes that Marksberry would get will probably the majority will come from the Democrats, but the rest will come from Libertarians. You know, and let's look at the voter breakdown in Kentucky, and I've got to say thanks to Paul.
Well, I don't know if he's going to get them because he is hardcore. You know, he's single-payer. You know, and there's a guy we need to get on the show, too, because contrary to popular belief, we are conservatives. But you know what? If a liberal comes on the show or a progressive or whatever they want to call themselves, if you're going to be honest about what you are, we respect them. So if Marksberry, if anybody knows Marksberry, invite him on the show. I mean, he is a liberal.
Well, you know why I ought to. You know what I ought to do.
About it.
I think I will. You know, we've got a YouTube channel, Louisville Politics YouTube channel. And I think what I'll do, because we've got all the audio from our time at KJK during the last elections, and one of the things we've always prided ourselves on, and we don't have many guests now, folks, by design. We can have a guest every night and spend a whole hour with guests and never give you any opinion at all or talk about issues, only what the guests want to talk about. We did that at KJK for well over, you know, for quite some time. So, you know, I've got all those old shows. Maybe I ought to load those up on the YouTube channel so people can see. But when it comes to Democrats being on this show, just because you're a conservative show doesn't mean you're rude about it. This isn't an MSNBC where they want to scream and yell at conservatives and tell them what garbage they are. No more than this is a Fox News that wants to scream and yell at liberals. The one thing we've always prided ourselves on, and, you know, you can talk to Democratic candidates throughout the state and throughout Louisville. Tyler Allen is a great example when he ran for mayor. Mike Slayton, you know, all kinds of people, even independents, Michael Lewis. You know, we are fair. We just want to get to the issues, talk about the issues, get your side, let our listening audience make up their own mind. So I want to be very clear about that. You know, we try to get everybody on here. The only exception, the only problem we've ever had getting somebody on was honestly right now, Matt Bevin. You know, there's only three people I've reached out to. Two of them have already been on. Rand Paul was one of them. You know, so it's not an issue. But Democrats coming on here doesn't bother me a lot. We really want that. But it's interesting because I'm looking at the chat room right now, and our good friend Paul Holliger has done it again. This guy does this stuff to me all the time. He is like a stat guru, folks. This guy can find stuff online in 2.3 seconds. But Paul has just sent us the voter breakdown for the state, and this is really interesting when you look at it. You've got almost 1.7 million Democrats registered in the state. You've got almost 1.2 million Republicans. And then you've got other, which is 168,000 folks. Of those, 3,400 are Libertarian, 788 Green, 268 Constitutionalist, 101 Reformist, and, of course, 68 are Socialists. So everybody else is registered independent. When you look at this, you've got almost a nearly identical, it's like 1.4 to 1 Democrat to Republican base here. So when it comes to the general election, you're going to have a pretty even chance at winning that election regardless of which side you're on. Would you agree with that based on those numbers?
Yeah, as long as you can pull the moderates, because the Democrat in Kentucky is actually more conservative than the Republicans in some other states. And some Republicans are, you know, they're looking at, and some Republicans can be actually pretty moderate. It's not a bad state, really. But, yeah, I would say, and that's, like I say, that's a big part of the reason that I look at it and says, okay, either way, if you're a Democrat or Republican, generally you've got to get some crossover votes. That's what I want to see. We know how Mitch is going to handle. Everybody knows how Mitch is going to handle Allison. We see it going on already. That's why I would want to see, especially given the way they've been, that some Tea Party candidates, you know, they get through the primaries like Murdoch in Indiana and a few others. They get in, and then you can tell that they came from the extreme fringes, that they won the primary through an energized small sector of a given party. That's why I like to see, you know, before you get my vote or even my consideration, I want to see how you're going to behave in the general. So give me a taste of it. Because you're going to need that, because you're outnumbered. You're outnumbered, so... You know, I'm here to tell you, if a candidate goes off, you know, half-cocked like some of these Tea Party-type candidates have, you're going to lose because people are just going to be like, oh, you know, if you're too polarizing, you're actually going to energize your opponent's base. So I'd like to see how they would, you know, how they would move strategically in a general.
Well, see, and I agree with that because, you know, you just pointed out when you're polarizing, you're energizing somebody else's base. McConnell's base is already set. He has a base. So by being negative and polarizing like Matt Bevin is doing, just trying to – I mean, I know when you get attacked, your immediate instinct is to attack back. I get that. That's a human instinct. But it's also when you're running for office, it can also backfire, especially when you're a newcomer candidate. And I think that's what's happening to Matt Bevin. And it's interesting you mentioned that we have so many conservative Democrats because part of these stats that Paul just sent me, 20 years ago, the gap was 2-1. Democrats to Republicans for being registered. Today it's down to less than 1.4-1. So that's interesting because the Republicans have actually made gains in the state over the last 20 years, And we do know that Democrats don't always vote liberal. We do have conservative Democrats. Just ask Barack Obama, who got defeated handily right here in the state. So, you know, we look at these things and we look at these factors and we can analyze and politicize and do all the other things that we do. But at the end of the day, these people listen to this, and most of them are too arrogant to realize they're making mistakes, and they go ahead and run their own campaigns right into the ground. That doesn't serve us well at all, does it? And I'm not saying that's what Matt Bevin is doing at all. Don't misquote me there. But I'm just saying typically with candidates, once they decide to go down a road this early in the campaign, they generally refuse to change the direction they're moving in, and it really hurts a lot of good candidates, does it not?
Yeah, and I think a lot of that falls towards the campaign managers. I think you get campaign managers that, you know, they think they're smart all of a sudden, and they, you know, oh, we're going to win the Tea Party vote, you know, whatever. And they, you know, I think they focus on one race at a time, which is fair, but, you know, when you're going primary to general, I think everybody focuses on winning. They focus on fundraising, and they don't focus on a solution. They don't focus on, you know, moving the country forward. So, that's the crux of negative campaigning, is it's designed strictly to win. It doesn't accomplish anything. So it's like, come on, let's think forwardly. Let's, you know, show us what you're going to do sort of forwardly. Cause I say we may find out Matt Bevin might be considerably more tactful and presentable, and actually, might be pretty impressive against Al on different grounds if we get a we get a look at what he's going to do.
Well, I mean, I'll be
so
honest with you.
I agree with you. What you were saying earlier, if all you're going to do is attack, you know what? Okay, we've got that in McConnell. We're good.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the same as the above. I mean, you know, if you're just going to follow down the same road, you're not going to get anywhere, because nobody is going to give up. In Kentucky, I would find it very hard to believe that they would ever give up the Senate minority leader position and that kind of power to a guy who appears to be the same as a guy that's there. Matt Bevin would be a junior senator, so he wouldn't have the power that the Senate minority leader has. So why would you give up the power to get one and the same? And that's what I'm getting from talking to people, that they really don't see a distinction between them based on the campaigning styles. Now, in Bevin's defense, I mean, let's be real here. Even Rand Paul, I'm not saying Matt Bevin's a bad guy. I actually think Matt Bevin's a real good guy based on everything I've read about him. There's some things I don't agree with politically. But on a personal level, based on a few things I've read about him and talked to people about, he's a nice guy. Even Rand Paul went out and said that Matt Bevin is a good Christian man. And Rand Paul has already endorsed Mitch McConnell. So it's not an attack on his character. It's an attack on his political campaign. And that's the thing about it. You know, you get guys like Jesse Benton or stuff like that. You know, these guys typically, you know, they've been around those campaigns. You know, they've gotten paid mega bucks. They've got one or two premier wins under their belt. We know that these guys are all snake-in-the-grass people. That's what they do. Campaign managers are paid to win campaigns at all costs. But when you're a new candidate, you don't get the Jesse Bentons. You don't get that pick of the litter without some serious cash behind you. And that's the thing. So you've got to run a smarter race. You've got to run a tighter race. And you've got to get the most out of your time and your resources. So many first-time candidates fail to do that, Ed. It's just unbelievable to me. They sit out there and they try to compete with the big boys without the resources to do so, going down to say, well, it worked for them, it'll work for me. But we don't realize that today, in this country, I think people are getting somewhat excited. I'll know more in the next election, but if you look at Obama and his victories, and you look at the Senate races that we've had, you look at the rep races that we've had, we just had a rep just resign in Colorado just last week, because they were coming after her on a recall election for her gun control legislation. So the party, the Democratic Party, forced her to resign so that they could appoint her so that they could replace her and make the appointment to replace her to avoid a recall election and any chance that a Republican could get that seat. It's all about the party. We the people are sick of that. So we've got to engage the voter on a different level, and I'm just not sure that's happening.
No, I don't. You know, I think, and like we've said, if Bevin is going to be, if he wants to convince us he's different, I agree with what you're saying. Is if you're telling us you're different, okay, show us you're different. It's not only just in your policy stances and tell us that, you know, you can out anti-Obama Mitch. Can you run a campaign different? Because that's the other thing. People aren't just tired of politicians. They're not just tired of career politicians. They're tired of everything. They're tired of the negative campaigns. They're tired of, you know, by the time the campaign season's over, you're looking at everybody, winners and losers, and go, wow, they all suck.
Sure.
Because that's what we're being told. It's just, you know, and maybe I'm idealistic, but God, I would just love it if some guy would come up with an innovative idea and says, hey, look, I got an idea that might work, you know, because obviously what we got right now is not working. And rather than just oppose something or run against the president, who's a lame duck anyway, you know what? I've got solutions. I've got something that could maybe make your life better. You know, maybe who knows? It's like if you're taking on the establishment candidate, then don't just take on the establishment candidate with establishment tactics and establishment ideas.
Go.
Give us something else.
There you go. If you're going to run as anti-establishment, then be anti-establishment. You know, instead of attacking Mitch McConnell because, you know, you don't like the way he handled Obamacare, guess what? Tell us what you would do different. Tell us what you would do different. Where is the plan? Where is something that we can believe in? You know, and God, I hate saying it like that because that's, you know, the whole hope and change with Barack Obama crap. I'm scared to even use those words anymore. I am. I'm scared to use those words anymore because of that dismal failure of a president. But, you know, we want
change
something
we
to believe in. We want someone. Do what?
Change we can believe in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we want someone to believe in. Everybody in this country knows that politics are a polarizing thing. And we have allowed this mindset. But we want somebody right now to believe in, and I'm not sure that we've really got that. I'm really not sure. Not in this election. Not with Duke candidates in this election. You know, as much as I would disagree with Ed Marksberry on issues and substance as an independent, you know, he has the gumption to stand up and go solo because he was so beaten up by the party. As much as Matt Bevin isn't bringing substance, I respect the hell out of the man for having the gumption to stand up and challenge an incumbent as powerful as Mitch McConnell. But respect is one thing. How can they get the vote? You know, and that's a major issue. I don't know.
Well, you know, I look at it. If you look at it in the bigger picture, it's like if you look at anything from a collegiate or a professional football, basketball coach or anything, or really anybody, a CEO taking over a company, it's just everywhere except politics. You want somebody to come in and say, look, I've got a plan, I've got a system, and I'm going to make it work.
Sure.
But you don't get a new football coach or a new basketball coach or a new CEO that comes in and just says, well, what you're doing sucks, and I oppose it.
Well, that's it.
Like,
that's it.
Well, okay, let's bring this guy in, you know. He's like, yeah, we demand that in everything else we do, but in politics it's just basically we actually vote for somebody who would stand up and say, I can't really tell you what my plan is, but I can tell you I don't like what's going on right now, so doggone it, give me a vote. It's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, when I ran for office, I gave a plan. You know, I mean, I gave it all the way down to the crime plan. We needed to hire officers, how we were going to get the money, everything. All the way down to it. I mean, you have to do that. If you don't have a plan that you believe in, then you certainly can't sell yourself to people who are going to vote and give you that kind of trust. You know, and that's the thing right now. We know what people like Mitch McConnell, they've been in office forever. We know what they're all about. They've got a history. And that's the thing. Matt Bevin is a clean slate right now when it comes to political office. We have limited things we know. We know that he took $200,000 in the state of Connecticut when his Bell company burned down. That doesn't sound like a conservative. It sounds like a liberal handout. But what's the explanation for that? We haven't gotten a definitive explanation. You know, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe there's something going on here we don't know. personally, if I had a business that burned down and I had an opportunity to get a small government loan to help me rebuild that, get my employees back to work, is that realistic option that I should take? Well, you know, you affect employees, you affect families, you affect things. Sure, maybe so. I don't know. But we haven't had a great explanation on that. So, you know, there's all kinds of things out there, and it's just, you know, I just don't really get it. And our good friend Paul is pointing in the chat room, change we can believe in since we don't have any dollars left. And you know he's referring to coins. That's funny. You know, but anyway, so that's where we're at. That's the Matt Bev and Mitch McConnell discussion, folks. Well, I'm sure we'll have more of this going forward. But that's also coming to the end of this show for tonight. Mr. Martin, final thoughts.
Oh, final thoughts. You know, I think working off my coach analogy or anything else, I think it really comes down to the voters and the citizens, too. If we're going to stand back and we're content, or, you know, at least some of the people are obviously content or motivated by negative campaigns, and somebody sitting back saying, well, I don't like this and I don't like that, I don't, you know, I oppose this and I oppose that. If that's what you're going to vote for, fine. That's what you're going to get. But I think at some point we need to sit back and say, okay, you know what? Hey, that's the easy route. Telling me what you don't stand for. Telling me what you oppose. That's the easy route to take. Put yourself out there a little bit more, not just financially, not just, you know, as far as the campaign. Put yourself out there. I want to tell me what you would do differently, because, you know, I like Matt Bevin, met him a number of times. But if all he's going to do is get up there and oppose Obama, yeah, I can get that with any Republican. You know, really can. So, yeah, and that goes for Mitch, too. It's like he's been there for a long, long time. Hey, you oppose Obamacare. We get that, okay? We get that. Now, if you wouldn't mind, tell us what you would do. You know, if, say, your Senate gets control of the Senate and maintains control of the House, what are you going to do? You know, are you just going to slam the brakes on government because you oppose Obama, because that's all we're getting right now, and nothing's going to happen for a couple of years left on Obama's term, and you just basically on a wing and a prayer, you hope a Republican gets in, and then, okay, then what are you going to do? It's like, tell me what you're going to do for a change as opposed to what you're opposed to.
Fair enough. I can go with that. You know, for me, I mean, I look at this election. Everybody is focusing on Kentucky in this election. It is going to be one of the most interesting races across the nation, the Mitch McConnell-Matt Bevin primary race. Nobody's really paying attention to Alison Lundgren Ground right now except Hollywood and the liberal elite who are letting her build up some money. And she's still not building up as much money as she should be, nor is she getting close to Mitch McConnell's money. You know, but they're paying attention to Matt Bevin versus Mitch McConnell. So when you've got this kind of national exposure, you've got a built-in fundraising machine. You've got a built-in voice that's going to cost you absolutely nothing. We spent the majority of this hour talking about this race, and we have thousands of people who follow us. When we look at this, what we have to understand in the grand scheme of things, it's just amazing. It's amazing that this opportunity is being wasted by both sides. Everybody across the United States knows what Mitch McConnell is going to do. That's it. We know that. But what we don't know is Matt Bevin. So, you know, Matt Bevin, this is personal to you. I'm going to be real personal and honest with you right now. You need to hire somebody else. I don't know who's running your campaign. I don't want to know. I don't know who's out there doing the grassroots campaigning for you. I will tell you this. They're taking you down a long failed road for many first-time and new candidates. The majority of people I talk to think you're a good man, but the majority of people I talk to think you're a lousy candidate. And that, sir, is unfortunate, because I think you probably do have a lot to offer, but you're not getting back with media, unless it's a media that you portray. We haven't gotten a call back. You're not spending your money advertising to where it's going to do you the most good. And the people that these guys, that your organization is putting in front of you, are primarily independents and people that probably aren't going to be able to vote for you anyway. Something's wrong in your organization. the good businessman that you are, based on Bev and Bell and all the things that we're told about from Bev and Bell, tells us that you're a better businessman than this. And if you're going to spend your own money running your own business and your own campaign, and in all likelihood you are, you need to change that direction. Give me a call. You've got the numbers or in your email. Give me a call. I'll help you out. In the meantime, for all you candidates out there, for any race, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, or other, that message applies to you. Start using your money wisely. Give us a call at 502-742-8519. We are going to take a limited number of campaign ads on our websites and our MVM radio. And don't forget, for all you other folks, we want to go on a massive drive right now. We want to get everybody and their brother to sign on as fans of this show. So when you see these links in your Facebook and your social media and in your email through our email list and everything else, have all your friends follow our RSS feed. Have them sign up to be a part of this show. We want to get as many followers on this show as we can. We know we've got the listeners, but they don't always click the follow link. Listeners are easy to find. We want followers. We want to prove to the world what we already know, that we have the best listening audience in America. That's it for tonight, folks. Join us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with Ed Martin. You will be here, correct?
Yeah, planning on it, sir.
All right, sir. We'll see you folks tomorrow night. Have a great night. God bless. Take care.